All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about dating. And guess what? For those of you that are married, you don't have the permission to check out. If you got duped into being here, Pastor John, if you didn't know what tonight was about dating, guess what? There's some great stuff that the Lord's going to speak to you tonight, and I want to see your notes afterwards just to make sure that you're paying attention. And guys, if you are married, and guys, if you think that you're done with dating your spouse, you're wrong. And if you just got an elbow on your side, you probably deserve that. I'm just saying, you should still be dating your spouse. And for those of you that aren't married yet and look forward to it, let me just tell you, don't ever stop dating your spouse. Don't ever stop dating your spouse. The way things start should be the way that they should continue, right? What is that saying to your spouse if you start by buying gifts and flowers and doing all these really sweet, thoughtful things, and then as soon as I do hits, you think you've got it? That's not how God does with us. He doesn't draw us to repent and to accept Him as Jesus and then just leave us to kind of work it out ourselves. No, He gave us His Word. He gave us His Word, and we can take Him at His Word. So single guys and gals, the whole purpose behind this message for you is for you to solidify a vision of the why, the how, and the who to dating. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down. If you're not taking notes, take notes. I just want to pray over the service again. Father God, I thank You, Lord, that Your Word is powerful. God, I thank You that Your Word never ceases to accomplish, God, what You set forth for it to do. God, I thank You that You are looking across this place, God, for people that would receive from You. And I thank You, God, that Your grace is upon all of us to receive from You tonight whatever it is that You want us to receive. In Your Son's precious name, amen. So let me just start by saying this. I didn't plan on this being a dating series or message or anything like that. I really didn't. You can ask Dara, wherever she's at. She was actually a little bit surprised, and I kind of was too. What kind of dropped in my heart, the whole reason why I felt like we were supposed to talk about this, yes, it was just Valentine's Day, Love Day, you know, whatever, right? Yes, that just happened. And yes, I saw some of your Twitter and Facebook feeds and saw that some of you guys were sitting at home or some of you guys were on dates or some of you guys were doing special stuff or whatever. And it just really came up in my spirit that there's just something that the Lord wants to talk about, this ideology and this thought process of dating. So whether you're in a place where you're dating right now, whether you want to be dating, whether you've, you know, kissed it goodbye, as the book says, or whatever the case may be, either way, this information might be for somebody, your next door neighbor. Maybe the Lord has spoken a word to you and said, you know, wait until this time or wait until you get this in line or whatever. I'm not here to say that God can't say those things to you. I'm just saying this is some really great information that I've applied in my life and that I've preached and teached and shared with friends, family, individuals throughout my dating life and certainly since I've been married to kind of show what I found that works. And there might be other ways, but I believe that this is a great basis for that to start with. So what came to my aha moment? Right, you might say, so Pastor Johnny, why did you decide to do a dating thing? Why? Well, it was probably a week or so ago, and I'd already planned out the message, and I'd woken up in the middle of the night one night, need to go to the restroom, right? So I did a thing like where you throw the covers off and you just open one eye. You know how you do like one eye, walk to the bathroom because you don't want to open both eyes because you think it'll keep you awake. Am I the only person? That was called a joke, guys. This is the part where you can laugh or say, ha ha, yes, I get that, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Where you wake up in the middle of the night and you look at your phone with one eye because for some reason we think that it'll wake us up if we open both eyes. I don't know. But anyways, I was doing that, and as I was walking back into the bedroom to get back in bed, I just looked over and saw Pastor Dara sitting there. And I just said, man, God, how faithful are you? How faithful are you? And man, she is the manifestation of God's favor, of God's glory, of God's blessing in my life. That's who she is. That's a physical representation, a physical manifestation. You know, for one of our staff members, Kelsey, you know her, she had a physical manifestation of God's love and favor and mercy on her life this week. And we also had Ariel, who sang the song up here so beautifully. They had a physical manifestation of a supernatural idea that God loves them unconditionally. Unconditionally. They flipped their car 4 times, glass broken everywhere, all this kind of stuff. If you don't know the story, ask them after service. But it's incredible. It's incredible. And neither one of them have any lasting effects. They had victory over death, right? We preach about it Sunday mornings and we talk about it amongst ourselves. But guys, that's a physical manifestation right there. And so for me, Dara is my physical manifestation, one of the many, let me say that, of God's favor, blessing, and faithfulness. And let me just say this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when God said it's not good for man to be alone, that's the truth. That's the truth. And guess what? I'm not saying that this is doctrine, and you can get mad at me, you can email me, and we can talk about it. But I believe that if God said it's not good for man to be alone, it's not good for man to be alone. And there might be some of you guys that maybe you feel like you're called to live in a monastery or called to be celibate. I don't know. If you've heard from the Lord, that's for you. But I don't think that's the case for us. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. I believe that finding a spouse, that finding a good spouse, finding a wife, finding a husband, that is what fully can allow you and enable you to walk in the fullness of what God has for your life. The fullness of it. I don't know if you know this, but in Genesis, whenever God creates Adam, and then he tells him, be fruitful, multiply, you know, he tells him, you know, name the animals, have dominion over the earth, all this kind of stuff, that's before Eve. That's before Eve. The chapter right after that, God says, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. Maybe I should make a perfect helper for him. Right? So God made Eve after he gave Adam his plan and call for his life. So guess what? If that's the case, then Eve allowed him and enabled him and helped him and undergirded him to fulfill the things that God called him to. Right? So can we just all agree on that? Yes? Okay, everybody except the two in the back. It's all good. We'll get you there by the end of the night, I promise. I just want to read for a second out of James. And before I do, I just want to say this. Young man, young woman, lady, man, girl, boy, whoever, if you're waiting for the quote-unquote perfect one, there's not a perfect one, okay? There's not a perfect human being on this earth. If there was, Jesus didn't need to die, right? If you are perfect, you probably should be careful because the last perfect person that walked the earth had to hang on a cross and die. So if I were you, I would just go ahead and admit that you're not perfect right now, right? Because we see where that ended up. That's not sacrilegious. It's a joke. Just roll with it. But Dara is my perfect helper. She's my perfect helper in every way, shape, or form. And every day that goes by, I'm reminded of that. Every conversation we have, I'm reminded of that. Everything that she helps me go through, I'm reminded of that. And so whenever I think of perfect, right, she's not perfect because her breath always smells like roses. It smells pretty good. It smells more like artichokes. Which I love artichokes, so don't get me wrong, that's a good thing. She's probably not going to be very happy about this. But I love artichokes. I love them. If you've ever been around me, you know I'm Italian. So I love manicotti. I love lasagna. I love pasta. I love all those things. And artichokes is way up there at the top. So it's great that her breath sometimes smells like artichokes, right? But that's not why she's perfect. She's not perfect because she always says the perfect thing, right? And for those of you guys that are married or maybe have friends and family, you love them even though sometimes they don't say everything perfect. That's okay, right? She's not even perfect because she does everything exactly the way I want her to every time. It's just not the case. But guess what? She's perfect for me because she's the one that God put in front of me and she's the one that God has put beside me to walk this journey out in life together. So she is perfect, right? So I think of James 1:17. In the New Living Translation, it says, whatever is good and whatever is perfect comes down to us from God our Father. So, would you guys agree that God gave me Dara? Of course, right? So, he gave her to me. She came down in a way. And she's good and perfect for me, right? So, we got to get this thought out of our head, guys and gals, that we're looking for the perfect person. Right? And let me just say this. You can write down a list and say, you know, I want her to be 5'3", you know, I want her to have, you know, this attribute, that attribute, whatever that looks like, right? That's totally fine. But guess what? If you think that all God is concerned about is just outwardly things, you're wrong. Okay? If you think that, well, let me just say this. If all that you're writing down that list is external things, God's going to have a hard time giving you that. I'm just going to say that. Because the external, it matters to God, but what matters more is the purpose for him giving you that person, right? And that's for his purposes. Because guess what? Yes, Dara is the most beautiful woman on this earth. No doubts about it. No doubts about it. But all of that has nothing to do with what we're called to do, right? We could be 3'6" and God could still use us. We could be 9'6" and God could still use us. He would probably have to, like, you know, have people change out the door frames and stuff for us to get in and out of places, but he could still use us. So, I just want to give you kind of a quick background of Dara and I. And I don't want to take up a whole lot of time because some of you guys have heard the story. But long story short, Dara and I, at one point or another in our journey, were both either engaged or very close to being engaged. Very close. With somebody who, from the outward, you know, would seem like this person is great. This person's perfect. You know, I was to the point where I was looking at rings for this person, right? This person loved the Lord, family was in ministry, right? Worked at a church, all this different kind of stuff, right? That from the external, you would say, hey, those are pretty, that's, you know, at least 4 out of 5 on the boxes to check off, right? But the thing was, it wasn't the woman that God had for me. And God spoke so clearly and said, she can be your spouse, but she's not the wife that I have for you. And there's a big difference between a spouse and a wife. There's a big difference between a spouse and a husband. And, you know, there's something that I had to learn about dating. And I just want to say, first of all, that I am not against dating. I'm for dating. But what we're going to talk about is how to define what dating should look like. Because guess what? This is what the world says that dating is. And I was actually, you know, I was looking around and I thought maybe I've got to look up 3 or 4 different sites and, you know, find the best one that, you know, fits exactly what I want to say. It was the first one I typed in was above and beyond what I could hope to land this point. This is what it says. Dating is. It says the exploration of romance is the purpose of dating. The exploration of romance. What does the Bible say about romance? Don't awaken love before it's time. So why would we want to explore that if it's not time? Why would we date just to explore it, right? It also says that dating, and this kind of, I if I could have done a backflip, I would have whenever I read this. It says dating may or may not continue once a couple have entered into a romantic relationship. Can you believe that? That's on the internet. The very first site that pops up whenever you put it in. I couldn't believe it, right? So I started looking at how I define dating and how I kind of work through dating with Dara. And, you know, parts of it might sound like courtship. And I'll be the first one to say that I'm not going to be the guy that says that courtship's the only way and, you know, you got to do it. That's actually really based out of an old world traditions where, you know, there were dowries and there were betrothments and all these different things that we don't have time to go into tonight. But basically the part the part of courting that I did, and gentlemen, I will say if you do this, you will gain some major points. With both the family and with her, right? So Dara's dad and I actually had kind of a business/ministry relationship before Dara and I ever met. So she was kind of the one that kind of picked me out. Or he was kind of the one that picked me out, honestly. You know, he kind of said, man, there's this guy, you know, he's you know, been helping me out, you know, business-minded, ministry-minded, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, she didn't really want to hear it, right? Are there any ladies that maybe you haven't wanted to hear, you know, your dad or somebody telling you about a guy? I get it. But guess what? Whenever that person is in love with the Lord and whenever that person hears from God, all I'm saying is you should just at least think about it for a minute and just submit to them. I'm not saying you got to go on a date with them. I'm not saying that. But guys, there's something powerful in submitting to somebody who's older than you, wiser than you, who's been around the block and who hears from the Lord, right? Because whenever you don't, you can alienate yourselves from that. And you can begin to almost want to buck that just because they're trying to tell you something that it wasn't your idea. And I had that happen in my own life. So fast forward to a little bit later in the friendship. So basically, Dara and I meet. We have a conversation. It was incredible. And let me just tell you guys, love at first sight is absolutely true. But let me tell you what's even more important is that whenever your spirits see each other, and your souls see each other. And, you know, Dara often talks about, at one point during our first conversation, said, you know, we were talking, and then it was like a switch flipped in her heart. And she said the conversation just kind of shifted towards ministry, shifted towards life, shifted towards our futures and, you know, what we were called to do. And she said, you looked at me a different way. And she said, I felt like you saw me in a totally different way. And she said, I felt noticed, right? Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because there's a way that God wants you to do things in a dating relationship, certainly in a marriage, right? And we're going to debunk some of the ways that the world tells you that you're going to do it. And we're going to look at some of the ways that God tells us to do it, right? So, number one, I wasn't ready to find Dara until I had the proper view of the purpose of dating, right? I had my why out of whack. Right? I was looking for, you know, a pretty girl on my arm. I was looking for, you know, a relationship, somebody to go out and have fun with and go on dates with and all those different things, right? But the thing was, and all those things are true. Don't get me wrong, right? There's nothing wrong with you know, thinking about dating and, you know, thinking about marriage and getting excited about having a family together. There's nothing wrong about getting excited about marriage and thinking about the intimacy. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But let me tell you, the three biggest reasons why people get into relationships, it's the same between dating and the same between marriage. And the top three reasons are for security. That's mainly for women. The top three reasons are security. The next one is intimacy, right? Physical things. And the third one is to share your life with that person. Well, guess what? Guess what the three biggest reasons cited for divorce? Money that is either shared or not shared, intimacy issues, or family issues, right? And why is that so? Because people are putting that as the purpose for getting in a relationship, for dating, and for getting in a marriage. And that's not the purpose, right? We found out what it was in God's word, that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And so God created Eve, okay? So are we all together tonight? So let me just say this. Again, I'm totally for dating, but again, not how the world does it. So the answer to the why of dating determines your how and will then lead you to the who. So oftentimes, we're so focused on the who, right? Guys, girls, we're looking on Facebook, we're walking through the mall, we're going wherever, we see somebody pretty, we see a good-looking guy, we see him get out of a really nice car or a really big truck or whatever the case may be, and we think, man, he's got it together, right? Man, she's really beautiful. Man, I bet that would be awesome to have her be on my arm, right? That'd be awesome to make babies with her. Don't be shocked, guys. You've all thought it. Now that I've given you the approval to laugh, you think it's funny. So it's okay, guys. There's no condemnation. Women, it's the same thing. It's okay. I know some of you girls, you know, whenever you meet that guy, you know, you start writing out Julie Sanders. You start writing out your last name and practicing what your signature can be. Y'all must have done it right here. They're like laughing. She's like, I'm not ashamed. It's okay. But here's the deal. Here's what I want to tell you. And this is mainly going to go towards the guys, because it's up to you to lead. Okay? It's up to you to lead. Guys, if you're thinking that leading is sitting back and waiting for God to just drop like a girl right in front of you out of the mouth of a stork and her look up and say, husband, it's probably not going to happen like that. It's probably not. It might. It might. I'm sure there's been some weird thing like where a guy was, you know, walking in front of a house and a girl was up on the second story and fell off and she fell and he caught her and there was, you know, whatever. I'm sure that's probably happened, but that's generally not how it goes. Okay? So I just want to say that. So guys, this is up to you. And this is incredibly important. You have to make the purpose known from second one, from day one. In any kind of relationship, in any kind of dating process, okay? And you can ask Dara, you can ask her parents, you can ask them what they knew what my purpose was pretty much from day one. We had a short time of about 2 weeks where we had kind of a family dinner of sorts where I came over to their house and her father and I had some business and ministry stuff that we discussed, but we just kind of all sat around the table and just chatted. You know, Dara just happened to be in town, right? you guys know she travels and all that, but, you know, whenever she found out that the guy was coming over that she didn't want to hear anything about, she just happened to be in town. So you can make your own, you can draw your own conclusions. No, actually the truth was I paid Dan $100 to make sure she was there. Which, by the way, now that we got married, can I have that $100 back? But this is what I want to say, and I love this quote from a pastor friend of mine. He said, "The upfront understanding of exactly what the dating relationship is for makes the relationship fruitful and keeps the relationship from becoming hurtful and destructive." I want to read that again, because you have to get this, especially for you guys that are wanting to venture into a dating relationship, or if you're in one and you haven't made this beyond clear to the girl's family, especially parents, to her, you need to do this. "But the upfront understanding of exactly what the dating relationship is for is what makes the relationship fruitful and keeps the relationship from becoming hurtful and destructive." Right? So the only way to keep the relationship fruitful and free of destruction is to have a vision of the why. Right? And you're probably going, "Wow, he's been talking about the why for now 20 minutes. You're right. Because the why is where everything else flows from. That's where everything else flows from. Again, if you think that the why is just about you being able to have somebody to kiss, somebody to hold, somebody to walk down the street with and hold their hand, somebody to go to the mall to and buy you a purse, you know, whatever the case may be, that's not what it's for. And if I'm stepping on toes, that's okay, because you'll thank me whenever you have the right man or the right woman in your life that's doing the things right, that's leading you towards the way that God has intended for it to go. You'll thank me for it. I can tell you that I am thankful for this book, and I'm thankful for spiritual mentors and leaders in my life that showed me the right way, right? Let me just tell you, Dan was the first man that I ever asked him before I took his daughter on a date. And guess what? At the time, I was 27 years old. Darryl was 25 years old. And how crazy is that to be, you know, most people, and granted, I've been living on my own since I was 18, right? So to go to a person's father who really is an adult and out on their own and having a career and doing their own thing, right? To me, it didn't even make sense. And when the Lord dropped it in my heart, and whenever it was confirmed by spiritual mentors, I was like, why do I need to do that? And he said, because there's honor in that. There's honor in submitting to a father. There's honor in submitting to authority. There's honor in submitting to your pastors. And so, you know, for those of you guys who are in a dating relationship, if you don't have anybody that you're submitting to and that you're talking about that relationship to on a weekly, daily basis, guys, you need to get that. You need to get that. And we're going to look over a verse a little bit later that's going to explain why. You know, guys, there's safety in a multitude of counselors, especially in a dating relationship, because this is why I felt so impressed that we were supposed to talk about this tonight. The enemy is after the family unit, 100%. If he can tear these two apart, guess what happens to 1440? Guess what happens? They're not going to be able to be ministered to the way they need to. They're not going to be hearing from God the way they need to. They're not going to be loving on those students the way they need to, because they're broken here. And there's a book that I love called Fatherless Generation. And in that book, there are stats upon stats upon stats, right? Because this book is written mainly to the intellectuals and, you know, all those kind of people that need it line upon line to prove to them, right? The atheists and all these different kind of things. But in that book, it says that 85% of the people that are incarcerated in the United States penitentiary system and jails, their father was not present. And that could be an actual physical present. Maybe he wasn't there. Maybe he, you know, did the deed and then peaced out and mom never saw him again, whatever the case may be. Maybe he wasn't present in the sense of being a spiritual leader in the home. Maybe he wasn't present in the form of, you know, he goes to work all day, gets home, you know, sits in his chair, cracks back a beer, and that's all that you see a dad, right? He's not being a father, right? 85% of people in jail have that situation happen. So how important do you think it is for the family unit to be intact properly? How important is it, do you think, for us to know who we are in Christ, so that we're not looking for the first guy that tells us we're beautiful. So that we don't go after the first girl that shows a little bit of skin. Right? Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Because you can see across America, the media portrays all these different situations where families are being broken apart by infidelity, by all kinds of crazy stuff, right? That's what the enemy's going after. Because if he can break down the family unit, he can then have disarray in the home, disarray in the neighborhood, disarray in the city, disarray in the state, in the country, and in the world. And if you look at places where the divorce rate is higher, there's higher crime, there's higher abortion, there's higher all those things, right? So I want you to get this. This isn't just about dating. This is about the rest of your life and what we're called to as Christians, okay? So my definition of dating is this. The agreement of a man and a woman to intentionally spend time exclusively alone together to move towards marriage. And I'll say it again. The agreement between a man and a woman to intentionally spend time exclusively, that means that you don't have five or six girls that you're going on random dates with every other week, right? That's not what I'm talking about. And for us to be able to talk about dating, I want you to make sure that that's not what I'm talking about. I don't think that that is setting you up for success. I truly don't. And you can probably admit that if you're willing to be honest deep inside. So I just want to say this. There's a reason I said man and woman there. There's a reason. And there's no condemnation. We love you here. But if you've ever struggled with either side of that, girls, girls, guys, guys, whatever, guys, we're here for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up. I'm not going to have an altar call for it. We're here for you to pray with you. Send us an email. Send us a call, a text, whatever the case may be, but we're here for you, okay? It's okay. God is not mad at you, but he loves you, and he wants his best for you. Can I just say that? So, why date? We're still on why, but we're getting there. There's three reasons why not to date, right? Number one is infatuation, right? That's when the person that you're dating or wanting to date consumes your thoughts. It distracts you from Jesus and your calling, which we already found out. That's the whole reason why we're called to have a spouse. It's to get us more in line with God's will for our life, right? To enable us to do more for the kingdom than we could on our own, right? Second reason why not to date, it's not anything selfish. Dating is not about you in any way, shape, or form. Getting married is not about you. It's not about what you can get out of it. It's not. And I hate to tell you that, but I'm here to tell you the truth because I love you guys. I love you guys. And I've been on both sides of bad relationships, and now I'm in the most amazing thing that I could ever imagine. And I want you guys to have the same thing. And I believe that this teaching, and I do say teaching for a reason, because I feel like a teacher today, like a professor, because that's how important this is to me. I don't feel the need to try and preach it at you. I don't feel the need to try and come up with great analogies and get you to say amen and, you know, get you rolling in your emotions to try and land a point. That's not what I'm here to do tonight. Because I want this to take root and take hold and not just be a good feeling and not just be something that's going to have you raise your hand, but I want it to be something that you can walk out those doors with, apply it to your life, and see it manifest in a way that you never thought possible. Third reason, it has nothing to do with anything sexual. The reason for dating has nothing to do with anything sexual. Okay? As in, like, no sex. As in, no kind of sex. No word that you put before sex to make it seem like less sex, but there's still sex on the second part of the word, so it's still sex. Right? If I have, tube socks, right? That's a kind of sock. Is a tube sock just a tube? Or is it a tube kind of sock? It's a tube kind of sock. Right? I don't get the argument that a certain kind of sex, because it's not the whole sex, which I don't even know what that means, is okay. It doesn't make sense, right? And let me just say this, guys. If you have ever gone down that road and had any kind of experience there, guess what? You're not dirty. God's not mad at you. He accepts you just the way you are. He accepts you just the way you are. And condemnation needs to go. Condemnation needs to go. You need to let that chain fall. Because guess what? If you're a believer, which I believe that everybody in here is, Jesus already died for that. So guess what? The lock that the enemy had on those chains has already been unlocked. And Jesus can't force you to take it off. He can't force you to throw those chains down. He can't. That's a decision that you have to make, but you have to trust that he died for that and that you don't have to walk around with that. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to say, well, I got to go 6 months, you know, without, you know, talking to a girl or a guy. And, you know, I got to go 6 months and, you know, staying at home every single night and reading the Bible for 8 hours a night and setting my alarm to wake up at 3 a.m., 5 a.m., and 7 a.m. and, you know, pray 70 scriptures. Guys, that's not what God is here for. He's not a taskmaster that's asking you to go through a list of A, B, C, D, E, F, G to attain the grace and the mercy that you so need. You need it. You need that grace. You need that mercy. You were born to need that. The second there was the fall with Adam and Eve, there was a need for grace. Right then, right there. And guess what? The Old Testament has types and shadows of grace. But when Jesus came, he embodied grace. Okay? Does everybody understand that? So, if you need prayer with that, guys, again, we're here for you. We're not going to have a specific altar call for that, but we're here for you. It has nothing to do with sex. So I want to make sure you guys got that. So some of you are probably sitting there going, well, that sounds really legalistic. I wondered if he thinks it's okay if you hold hands. Some of you might be thinking that. I don't know. Some of you might be thinking, well, he didn't say that it's not okay to kiss. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you. I said it's not sexual. Okay? But I'm not saying don't kiss. I'm not saying don't hold hands. However, anything physical, hand-holding, kissing, whatever, that's normally the precursor to the sex. Okay? I'm just being real with you guys, okay? I'm a married man, okay? Whenever I get in a car, I have to unlock it first, okay? Does everybody get the analogy? I'm just saying, okay? We can be real here. We're all adults, okay? We're all adults. We can be real here. The reason I say that is not to tell you don't kiss. I'm just telling you that you need to hear from the Lord for you on that. I'm not going to say legalistic thing, don't kiss, you know, don't go tweet, Pastor Donnie said don't kiss. I'm just saying, okay? If I would have known, well, let me just say this. I wouldn't have wanted to tell Dara about any more girls that I'd kissed because they weren't my spouse, they weren't my wife, right? And I wouldn't want for my children to have to tell their spouse about this person that they gave any part of themselves away to, okay? Just because I know that God's best, that's not it. And again, I don't want you to hear this in a condemning tone. I want you to hear it in a loving tone because I love you guys and I want what's best for you, okay? So ladies, if your guy's pressuring you to, it's just a kiss. If you don't feel comfortable, don't do it, okay? You should never let a guy or a girl, however that works out, pressure you into anything. Because if they're pressuring you, they don't love you. And if they're pressuring you, they don't trust that God has a plan for you. And that God has a will for that dating relationship. Right? So, there's only one godly reason for dating. And if you're taking notes, write this down under why. To find your spouse. Okay? To find your spouse. It's really simple. Proverbs 18:22 says, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure. And he receives favor from the Lord. I love what the message says of the same verse. He whoever finds a good spouse, you find a good life, and even more, the favor of God. And before you take that literal and say, oh, well, I guess I don't have any favor on my life until I get a spouse. That's not what that's saying there, okay? But the kingdom principle of a wife and a husband coming together is more than just about 1 + 1. Because whenever 1 + 1 comes together with Jesus in the middle, that becomes everything. That's like 1 + 1 equals infinity. Whenever you have Jesus in the middle, right? So the Bible talks about the power that's in marriage and the power of multiplication, right? What does the Bible say? If one can put 1,000 to flight, how many can 2 put to flight? 10,000, right? That's multiplication. Does everybody understand that, right? So that's what it's talking about there in Proverbs, that you attain favor. And I believe what it's talking about there is increased favor and perpetual favor. That's a forward speaking thing, right? That's like saying, I ran yesterday, I ran today, you know, I'm running. No, that's a perpetual thing, right? God is giving us favor upon favor upon favor, right? So let me just say the why is summarized by this. Finding the spouse that God has for you is why you should date. If you're not interested in finding a spouse for you, I don't know why you're dating. I just don't. If you think that dating is just about this casual thing and, you know, we're just going to go hang out and have fun, I'm just telling you that that is a path that is proven to be so dangerous time and time and time and time again. And I would expect in a room this large with this many people that you can probably attest to that in your own life. Okay? Casual dating, there's no such thing. That's just casual asking for trouble. Okay? Gentlemen, you should be intentional with everything that you do. Everything. Every word that you tell her, every touch that you touch her, you should be intentional. 100%. And don't say something if you're not ready for the consequences of what might happen. Don't tell her you love her if you're not ready to have her tell you back. Don't tell her you love her just because you think that that's what she wants to hear. Don't do that. Don't do that. You wouldn't want somebody to do that to your daughter or to your sister. So don't do it. And I get in the moment, and I've done it, guys. So don't think I'm sitting up here on a soapbox. I'm not. I've done it, right? We've all done things that we wish we wouldn't have, but that's why we're here tonight. That's why I'm able to talk to you guys tonight, and that's why you guys are here, because you want to learn this, right? Because you want to grow, because you want to learn how to have success in this area of your life. And if you're sitting out there and you haven't thought about a guy, if you're a girl, or a girl, if you're a guy, and the possibilities of the future in the past week, I probably don't believe you. I probably don't, right? Because what do the statistics say? That, you know, 17 times a day or once every 17 seconds, whatever it is, you know, we think about the opposite sex, right? And that's okay. That's how God created us. Those are beautiful things, okay? So, again, now we're going to go to the how. And again, Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a good spouse, right? Finds. That's an active term. So if we don't talk about the how, it's an active thing, okay? Guys, you're not going to find your spouse by sitting at home all night, every night, playing Call of Duty. I imagine that there... She's excited about that. Now, hear this. There are some ladies that like to play Call of Duty. So maybe you guys can hook up online and play a little bit and talk about the Lord while you're shooting each other with rocket launchers. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm just saying, it's an active thing, guys. Adam, there was only one man who's ever gone to sleep and woken up with a wife by his side. And that was Adam, right? Well, let me take that back. Probably in Las Vegas, that probably happens a lot. Like go to sleep and wake up and like, who are you? Why is this ring on my finger? Oh, shoot. Right? Right? That actually probably has happened quite often. So let me just say that so that y'all don't like throw some at me and go, that actually probably has happened. Right? So don't do that. Right? So again, Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife, who can find? Right? The Bible keeps talking about action words. Who can find? Right? So what does that mean? That means in order to find, you have to be looking. You have to be looking. It's an active thing. Now, don't hear me say that you need to be scouring Facebook and looking at statuses and looking at pictures and going, oh, man, she's pretty. Let me see if she's single. Yep, she's single. Awesome. Not what I'm saying. Okay? I'm not saying that every Thursday you have fishing day and you go out fishing for your spouse at the mall. Not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. Not at all. Right? But there's an action to it. Right? The one who prays for wisdom from God receives it. That's an action, right? The one that asks for guidance from the Holy Spirit, right? Whenever you're doing all those things, those are actively seeking that spouse. That doesn't mean that you're out looking for that person physically or asking every girl that you come up to if they're your spouse. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that just like Dara talked about before service tonight, whenever she was in prayer meetings every week with Miss Iva, they used to pray about the man of God that God had for her. And guess what? That man was walking the earth. He was. I'm right here. I'm just saying, that was her actively doing her part. Okay? So ladies, gentlemen, that's the first step in actively pursuing the man or woman of God that he has for you. It's praying for that person. There are times that she said that she can remember vividly just having this impression on her that she needs to pray for me. And we've talked about some of those time frames, and some of those time frames were some of the toughest parts of my life. Stuff that I dealt with. Both that I brought on myself through really bad decisions, and both also in ways that I couldn't really have helped. But she felt impressed to pray. She was actively doing her part to get me to her, right? And there was a time in my life that I finally came to the place where I was ready to actively do the right thing in the right way to get that step closer and the next step closer to my wife, right? And it wasn't just casual dating. It wasn't after dating somebody for 2.5 years and broke up for 3 different times and back together and all this kind of stuff, right? This back and forth and back and forth, right? And you know what happened? And I'll go back to what I said earlier. I feel like the reason why I got to that place is because I wasn't allowing the spiritual mentors in my life to know what was going on. I just glossed it over. They would ask me, hey, how's your relationship with such and such? How's it going? Man, it's awesome. Man, it's great, man. We're just, you know, moving together in the Lord, and, you know, we're moving towards the right things, and, you know, we're, you know, doing all the right stuff, right? But I wasn't telling them the truth. And you need to have accountability partners in your life. You need to have spiritual mentors in your life, people that have been there, people that have fruit on the tree. You need to find your Paul, right? We've talked about this before. Matter of fact, it was either my first or second month here, my first, second service here. We talked about that. You need to find your Paul. That's an active thing. Don't wait for a pastor. Don't wait for a deacon or anybody in the church, a prayer leader. Don't wait for them to come to you and say, hey, I want to mentor you. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. For some of you, maybe that happens. But I believe that you need to actively be seeking that. And I can tell you, for those of you that I know some of your stories, the time that you can look back to in your life where you say, man, this is whenever I really started to grow in the Lord. And I really started to see manifestations. It's whenever you put yourself under that spiritual leadership. And you know, whenever I finally did that, I had, and the thing is, this friend had been telling me this for years when I was with this person. He said, man, what are you doing? Look how she treats you. And I said, well, she was just hurt from her past relationship. You know, we're working through that, right? Or, you know, excuse after excuse after excuse, because I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to fail, right? I didn't want to have to look back at that last 2.5 or 3 years and go, man, look at that. I wanted to salvage it, right? And in effect, I was missionary dating. I was dating to be a missionary to that person. And guess what? That's never going to work. Never. Never. What does the Bible say about that? Don't be unequally yoked. And that doesn't just apply to, I'm a Christian, he's not. That is the very basis, the very start of that. Right? Lady, man, if the person that you are wanting to get in a dating relationship, if they gave their heart to the Lord 2 days ago and you're going, yay, now it's time for us to get in a relationship, that's not wisdom. It's just not. And I'm telling you that because I want to protect your heart. I want to protect you from that. I have, even though some of you guys and gals are my age, there's a few of you that are older. Obviously, I'm in not the age where I could be your father. I have that burden upon me to teach, to speak, to love you guys in that way, both male and female. And I know Dara feels the same exact way, right? Because we both had experiences that weren't great, and now the experience that's better than I could ever put into words. And we love you guys, and we want the same for each one of you guys. And I'm going a little bit long tonight, and I would just ask you to stay with me, guys, because I believe that this is so important to you, right? And I say it all the time. I said this morning in new members class, I said the 18 to 30-year-old, 30-ish-year-old age bracket is the most crucial time in your life. And why? You have to make the decision on who you're going to marry for the most part. you got to make a decision on what are you going to do with your life. Are you going to go to school? Are you going to jump right into a job? Where are you going to live, right? Are you're moving out with parents, or you're living with parents, or you're starting a job, or you're not starting a job. Whatever the case may be, and those are the biggest decisions thus far in your life that you've ever made. And that will chart the course for the rest of your life. That's the compass that sets you on the course for the rest of your life, right? Now, obviously, God can come in and, you know, restore things and miraculously get things back on track. But it's so important that you get this today, okay? So, let me just ask a couple questions, right? If Matthew 7 is true, that he who asks receives, and he who seeks will find, and to whom knocks the door is open, right? We all believe that's true, right? Can I get an amen? That's true, right? God isn't this far off God, right? The veil has been torn. Okay, we have 100% 24/7 access to him every day, all day, all day long. Okay, we know his heart. We have his heart described right here. And guess what? Now we have the Holy Spirit to reveal his heart to us and to reveal what Jesus did for us, right? So that's a promise from God in Matthew 7, right? So I don't know why we exclude that from this area of our life, from our dating relationships and from our marriage, right? I don't know why we do that, right? If we ask God for healing, being word of faith, we know the verses, right? We'll stand on it. Isaiah 53, right? By his stripes we are healed. We're the healed of the Lord. I will live and not die, right? All those different things. And we know that's true. And we expect those things, right? Kelsey and Ariel, in the midst of them spinning on the ice on the bridge, the very first thing out of their mouth was Jesus, because they knew that their confession was the most important thing in that moment. But guess what? Whenever you're in that moment, it's too late to think about what your confession is, because whatever you've planted, that's what's going to come out. So let me just say this. If you are in a dating relationship or you're dating somebody, you need to set up boundaries beforehand. You need to set up, if you need to write it down on a piece of paper together and sign it and pray over it and have your leaders have a copy of it, whatever that looks like, because that's what's going to keep you once you get to the guardrail, like what we talked about in 1440 this past week. Jordan was talking about guardrails, and guardrails aren't at the very edge of the road. They're a little bit past it. That way, if you hit the guardrail, you don't fall in. Okay? And that's what having those boundaries set up beforehand are for, because in that moment, your thoughts are going, your emotions are going, all the different chemicals and whatever's going, right? It's too late to think about what am I going to do now. It just is. And obviously, the Lord always gives us a way out, right? In every temptation, he provides a way out, but he also provides a way for you not to get in that to begin with, okay? So, again, no condemnation if you've had success or not in that area. It's okay. I want to end in saying this, or not end, but begin to end. I'm going to use Brother Copeland's thing. I'm going to think about closing now. I'm going to think about closing. I've never done that, so I'm going to have to get a recording of this and play it back, because that's kind of funny. But this is what I want to read to you. I want to read to you Genesis 24, and this is one of my actually it is my favorite verse in all the Bible. And this is the very thing that I held on to, for years, whenever I was believing God for my wife. For years, I held on to this verse, and I said, this is how it's supposed to be. I believe this. And at that time, I wasn't as spiritually mature. Whenever I first heard of this story, I wasn't spiritually mature enough to really get everything that the Lord was saying in it, right? So we all understand that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, right? And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. We all understand that, right? So there are things in the Old Testament that if you don't have your New Testament goggles on, sometimes you can miss a lot of revelation. Does everybody get that? Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? So basically, Genesis 24 is an account of Abraham shortly after Sarah had just died. Sarah died at 127, which I'm believing for at least 120. You guys can do that with me. So let me just say this, right? Abraham, he just lost his wife. And the Lord showed me, even recently, just, let me say this, isn't it amazing how God, you can read a verse 100 times and he can reveal more and more stuff to you? Am I the only one that think that's just incredible? I mean, literally, you can take a short little 7-word verse and get revelation out of that for years. For years. I've heard of, who was it, Brother Hagin that preached out of the same, was it Mark 11? Is it Mark 11? whatever it is. He preached out the same book and the same chapter for years and years and years, right? And they asked him, how long are you going to keep preaching about this? And he said, until you get it. But guess what? Here's the kicker. And here's what Brother Hagin was saying between the lines. You're never going to get it. Because you can never get everything from God that he wants to give to you. You never can. If that was the case, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be omnipotent. He wouldn't be omniscient. If you could fully understand God because you read some ink on a page 7 times. Just not the case, right? So, let me just say this. So, Abraham, Sarah had just died. And I believe the reason why he decided that he needed to find a wife for Isaac is because he was reminded of what God told Adam when he said it wasn't good for him to be alone. Because Abraham, for the first time in a really, really long time, was alone. And he said, man, this isn't good for me to be alone, so it's not good for Isaac to be alone. Right? So he had a word from the Lord for that. Okay? We'll pull that wagon around full circle. So this is what happens. I'll set the story and then we'll quickly go through it. So Abraham takes one of his servants, his oldest servant, which there is a whole message in that the oldest one would be the wisest one, and you know, whatever, doesn't matter. But there's a whole message there, just proving my point about you can read something 100 times over. But they do an oath, okay? They do an agreement, and it's not just an agreement. It's not just an oath. Thank you. It's not just an oath. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. And we all know, you know, Jesus, the blood covenant, you know, we take communion and it's a covenant and all those things, right? A covenant is very simply, in those days, they didn't have like contracts legally and all that kind of stuff, right? So, you know, even nowadays we understand if I say, hey, John, can you be there at 7 tomorrow morning? Does that work? Yeah. What's he going to do? Shakes my hand, right? That's an agreement right there. Well, in the old days, whenever it was something to the nth degree, like, if John was saying, on my life, I will be there at 7. No matter what happens, I will be there at 7. I am there. I will, whatever happens, come hell, high water, whatever that saying is, I'm there. Right? Well, what would they do? He would put his hand under the thigh. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to put my hand under his thigh. But that was, if you didn't laugh, you don't know the story. So basically, the servant puts his hand underneath Abraham's thigh. Okay? And that is significant because that means it's the same act that Jonathan and David did whenever they made their pact, their truce, their covenant together, that they would love each other, that they would be like brothers, right? It's a beautiful story of Jonathan and David, one of my favorite stories. But it's the same thing that happened there. And if you recall, they said, man, no matter what happens, I will be good to your descendants and your descendants and your children's children, all that kind of stuff, right? It's the same thing here. So basically, Abraham sends out a servant to go find a wife, okay? And the servant, in the first little bit of the story, he's like, well, you know, should I go here? And he's like, no, do not go to Canaan. Don't go to Canaan, right? Which at that time, the Canaanite women were not the kind of women that you would want to take home to mom, basically, okay? They were just not moral. They just didn't think the same way. They didn't dress the same way. They didn't act the same way. But they were beautiful. They were beautiful, right? But just like we talked about earlier, that's not everything. Matter of fact, if you don't have the spiritual side down and you don't have all those other things, man, beauty means nothing at that point. It just doesn't. So let's start in verse 2 in Genesis 24. Take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife for my son Isaac. A little bit later, I'll skip forward to 7. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. Right? So think about that. Why did he put in there the part about the oath that God made him about having descendants in that land? Because he knew that the person that he chose for Isaac would determine his future. He knew that if he would have got a Canaanite woman, that he probably would have been distracted, and he would have been misled and misguided, and you know, that's why you don't become unequally yoked, because it can get you off course from the destiny that God's planned for you.
It can get you off course for God's best, right? And Abraham understood that. So later on in verse 9, it says, so the servant took an oath by putting his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham. He swore to follow Abraham's instructions. So he took Abraham's camels with all kinds of expensive gifts from his master and traveled to the distant Aram Naharim. And there he went into town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled. He made the camels kneel beside a well just outside the town. It was evening and the women were coming out to draw water. O Lord, God, my master Abraham, he prayed, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I am standing here beside this spring, and the young women of the town are coming out to draw water. This is my request. Right, so check this out. The servant knew that he had to test who this woman would be. He knew it wouldn't just be a sight thing. He knew that he needed a word from the Lord. He knew that, right? And guess what? Guy, girl, man, woman, you need a word from the Lord. You need a vision for what that person would look like, right? Abraham had that. He had a vision. He knew what that person was supposed to look like, where they were supposed to be, what they were supposed to believe, the theology that they were supposed to believe, right? He knew that. He had a vision for that, and he transferred it to the servant. And so then the servant got it, right? So then the servant took it and said, Lord, this is the vision for the woman that's supposed to be for my master's son. So, you know, show her to me, right? So I don't want to keep reading too much, but long story short, he says, you know, let her come out and not just give water to me, but let her water all of my camels. Which, by the way, if you don't know anything about camels, those big humps on their back, those are all filled with water. They can hold, I've done the research, I want to say like 30 gallons of water per camel. 30 gallons, okay? Let me just tell you something. Rebecca didn't have a hose. She didn't have a water hose. She didn't have a spigot. She had a well where she had to lower the bucket down, fill up the jug, go water the camel, right? Then fill it up, water the camel again. Then fill it up, then water the camel again. Then fill it up, then water the camel again, right? You get the picture. She knew how to work, okay? She understood that there was honor in doing that, right? Because he asked in those days, he was a stranger in that land, and so he asked for water, and she had the responsibility to give it to him, okay? Does everybody understand that? And I'm going into more detail probably when I need to, but I want you to understand this. It does say in verse 16 that Rebecca was very beautiful and old enough to be married. So why did I stop there? Lady, if a guy's ever told you, or if anybody's ever told you that you don't have to be attracted to him, I don't think that's the case. God wants you to be attracted to who you marry, okay? But let me say this. Attraction is more than just external. It's more than just external, right? My first car was a 1988 Jeep Cherokee that had 260,000 miles when I got it. Okay, the paint was faded. It had a dent in the side, but man, I grew to love that car. Love that car. And I've told Dara many times, I'd love to have a Jeep like that again because I grew to love that car. Okay, so I'm not saying that God's going to call you to date somebody or to marry somebody that you're not attracted to physically. I don't think that's the case. But I also believe that attraction is far more than just physical. Okay, let me just say that. So I'm going to skip way forward to the end of the story. So basically, long story short, the servant goes to Rebecca. She gives all the water to all the camels. They go back. He tells her the story, tells her, you know, Abraham sent me, you know, asked of the Lord, this, that, and the other. And, you know, you're supposed to come marry my master's son. And she's like, okay, let me go home and talk to my parents, right? So they go home. The parents try and keep them there for a little while, right? And let me just tell you, gentlemen, you just need to deal with the father, okay? If he's a little protective of his daughter, that's good. That means that he understands the value of his daughter, and you should too. And you should honor that. Amen. That's why I felt so impressed upon me to go to Dan before I ever took her on our first date. And I said, Dan, you probably know, you know, your daughter and I have been texting a little bit. You know, we've been kind of calling each other on the phone the past couple weeks. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I have a green light to take it to the next step with your daughter. And I just want to let you know, what my plan is and what my vision is for this. You know, I'm not just here to have fun. I'm not just here to date casually. I have a purpose. And I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, your daughter and I need to get married tomorrow, but I want you to know my intentions, right? And I believe that Dan really honored that. And I believe that for those of you that are looking at dating or looking at whatever that relationship looks like, I encourage you to do the same thing. Not only will you gain points in the natural with her father and with her, but you're going to spiritually reap the honor of respecting that man. I believe that. And respecting that woman, respecting the value, okay? So at the end of the story, it says this. In verse 63, one evening as he was walking and meditating in the fields, he looked up, talking about Isaac, and he saw the camels coming. And when Rebekah looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted from her camel, right? Love at first sight. I told you earlier, it's possible, right? But it's whenever you're submitted to the will of God and the way of God for that to happen that you will position yourself to see that, okay? Earlier in my earlier relationships, I didn't position myself to see that because I wasn't hearing the word of the Lord from those that were in authority over me and those that were spiritual leaders over me. I wasn't putting myself in that position. So guess what? Whenever I looked at that person that I was with, I thought she's my wife. And the next day, I thought she's not my wife. And then the next day, I thought she was. And then the next day, I thought she wasn't. Okay? And it's this seesaw, this up and down the whole time. And why? Because I wasn't positioning myself. And Rebekah had positioned herself. She trusted the man of God when he said that you're supposed to do this. This is what I prayed. And lady, let me just tell you something, because I went to Bible college, okay? And there are some weird, some kind of stories, and Kelsey and some of the other guys and gals that went to Bible college, you can attest to this, okay? That there is a certain thing called a prayer walk. Okay, it's Southwestern, where if you walk this circle with a girl three times, then the Lord's going to have you guys get married. Okay? I know it's, bear with me, I agree. So check this out. Guys would think that if they got a girl to go on that with them, then that would mean that they would say to the girl, hey, we just walked the prayer walk three times. That was crazy. I didn't even realize it. I guess we're supposed to get married. Right? And here's the saddest thing of all. The saddest thing of all, girls would fall for it. Girls would fall for it. And that's not the way it's supposed to be done. It's just not, okay? You need to have a word from the Lord for yourself, but it needs to be confirmed by those people in your life that you trust to speak in your life, okay? Okay? And I'm going into a lot more detail than what I originally planned, but I believe that you guys need to hear this. And honestly, I need to hear this to remind myself just how amazing it is that I'm with my wife now and where I was versus where I'm at now, right? So a couple quick pointers, and then we're going to finish up. So Abraham had a word from God, right? He also had a servant. So he had a word from God. He had a servant, okay? Guess what? You don't have a servant to go out to the mall in the food court, okay? And see a girl that's, you know, giving water, that's working at the Great American Cookie Company, okay? And she's giving water to people, and you're like, all right, okay. Hey, you guys, go see if she'll give you water too, right? And then they go, and she gives her water, right? And you're thinking, all right, bring her back to me now. Put a gold ring in her nose and bring her to me. She's my wife, right? That's not the case, but guess what? Just like Abraham had a servant, you have a servant that can lead you and guide you to that right person and guide that right person to you as well. Guess what that servant is, right? That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And don't hear me wrong. Don't go tweet that Donnie said the Holy Spirit is your servant. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying if Jesus said that he's the comforter, okay, and the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal things from God to you and to lead and to guide you, wouldn't you say that he kind of serves God's purpose in your life? Okay, so the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you to the right person, the right person. And again, that doesn't mean he's going to drop her or him in your lap, but he can speak to you about who that person is supposed to be and what the future is supposed to look like and what you guys are supposed to do together. Okay, I'll finish with this. The Holy Spirit will show you the how And right after he shows you the why, and once you know the why and the how, then you can find the who. And there's a reason why the who is the least important, because when you have the why down and you understand the how, then the who will be really easy to figure out. You know, in the months before Darren and I met, there was upwards of 6 to 7 different females that some of them came to me, some of them friends told me about, and all of them from day one, I said, Lord, I'm not going to look through this at the eyes of, are they pretty? Does it fit, right? Are they called to do the same things I do? I'm not looking at all those things, okay? I want a word from you. I want a word from you, right? And time after time, I sought the Lord, and he said, yep, she has, you know, all the stuff that, you know, the external, you know, check boxes that you would want to check, but she's not it. And so I didn't go on a single date, because within talking and texting and emailing and calling, I knew that that wasn't my wife. So why would I even start the dating relationship if I didn't think that there was a really good possibility that this was my wife? Okay? I didn't want to get myself wrapped up in emotions. I didn't want to get myself wrapped up in feelings. I didn't want to get myself wrapped up in, you know, it's been 6 months and, you know, this happened and, you know, we made a mistake in this area and now there's soul ties. I didn't even want to start down that road. Okay? And I would encourage you to do the same thing. So, long story short, right? The Holy Spirit's always leading us and guiding us. A couple months before, I moved to Lake Worth. I was working 10 minutes from where Dara has been living for all of her life, for the most part. And right before I came to Lake Worth, I had another job opportunity to take over a different branch at the job that I had. And part of everything that you pray every day should be, Holy Spirit, lead me in every situation, every decision. Don't just make decisions like this, right? Be led in every decision, okay? And for some reason, this other job actually was at another location, like I said, but the first location that they tried to get me to go to was working for this well-known leader, and, you know, he'd been known for getting people promoted and all this kind of stuff, right? It made sense. And let me just tell you, in the natural, in the business world, if you have a district manager and a regional manager come to you and say, hey, Donnie, we want you to, you know, move and go here and, you know, fix this broken, you know, business and whatever, and you say no, normally that's kind of, that puts you on the blacklist, right? And honestly, I struggle with it. But I said, Lord, I just know that you're not calling me there, right? So I said no. I turned it down. A couple weeks later, they offered me another position. I went, I checked out that location. I walked around the business. I prayed about it. I didn't have peace, so I didn't do it. Right? Wisdom would certainly say don't turn down your regional manager twice, right? That wouldn't make any sense. For the most part, you would probably say, well, man, if the first one wasn't it, maybe you should just go with the second one, right? But no, the Holy Spirit never gave me the green light. And so a couple weeks later, I get another call. Hey, we want you to go to Lake Worth. We want you to take over. They've had, you know, management problems, this, that, and the other. We need you to basically rebuild and redo everything, restructure, right? So this time, I felt a yes. Within a few months later, I meet Dan. We start talking about the Lord, right? Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So even in the midst of talking about business, ministry starts coming out, right? And so, you know, I always tell people that my job hasn't changed ever since I was a youth pastor, and then ever whenever I was in the business world, it never changed. The only thing that changed is where I stood or where I stand whenever I do it. That's the only thing that ever changed. My pulpit, my stage used to be my office, and I was a young adults pastor over 80 to 100 employees at any one time, and most of them were our age, right? God was preparing me for this. He was preparing me for this, and he was leading me to my wife because he knew that I needed her to fulfill fully what God had called me to do. And for those of you that are married, you can totally attest to that, completely and totally attest to that. And I believe for every single one of you that God has somebody that's just for you, that's just for you. And this is what I want to happen out of this message tonight. This is what I want to happen. I want for those of you that are in a dating relationship, for one or two things to happen. and I'm probably going to step on some toes, but guess what? Jesus stepped on toes. He did it in love, and I can assure you that this is in love. For some of you that are in dating relationships, I want you guys after tonight to either decide, you know what, I probably shouldn't be in that. That's not my wife. I know it's not. I don't have a green light. Haven't had a green light. She doesn't have a green light, so why? Right? That should happen. Or there should be some of you guys where you need to submit yourself to spiritual leaders and spiritual mentors, and they're probably going to tell you, hey, yeah, you guys should move forward. Why wait? Right? I think that one of those two things should happen. The word of God, what does it talk about? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It divides. It separates truth from not, right? And I believe that that's what this word is going to do tonight. And it's going to help you guys that are single to figure that out. And for those of you that are married, man, I believe that God wants you guys to get back to the why. The whole purpose why he created Brittany for you, John, was to help you fulfill the calling that God has on your life. And Dan, you know this, without Judy, man, you'd still be an amazing man. You'd still be a powerful minister. But how much more anointed are you guys are than whenever you get up together, right? And I can tell you that the anointing on and the success and the influence in both Dara and my life, whenever we got together, it's been amazing to see how God has just blessed us and his favor has been so evident. So, the who, and this will be quick. Number one, you should be attracted to him. It says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and he adds no sorrow to it, right? So what does that mean? God doesn't want you to roll over every morning for the next 90 plus years and go, ooh, man. Ooh. You know what? Before I even look at you, I got to go have some quiet time and get right because God doesn't want that for you, okay? Number two, they should be a Christian. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, right? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, right? So check this out. I'm going to take that a step further. And for us that believe how we believe the whole Bible. We're not just Christians that go Sundays and Wednesdays, and that's the extent of our Christian life, right? We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in healing. We believe in all those different things, right? And I would say to you, you probably shouldn't put yourself in a relationship or in a relationship that's headed toward marriage with somebody who doesn't really think the same way as you. It's just going to create problems. It's just going to create problems. And again, I'm not saying that's law. Be led. Those spiritual leaders in your life, let them speak into your life. I'm just saying that I've seen it time and time again where you had a really strong Christian who, you know, was speaking in tongues and all this kind of stuff, and the other one said, man, speaking in tongues isn't for today, and kind of drug that person down. And I'm just telling you that God has something better for you. I love what my mother-in-law says. She says, go fishing in your own pond. Go fishing in your own pond. I'm not saying for all of you guys that your spouse is in this room or that your spouse is at EMIC. Not necessarily what I'm saying. But they should be within the same company of believers. Does that make sense? Number three, there should be agreement from those in your life. That should be your parents, your pastors, and your peers. And some of you are probably saying, well, my parents don't even love the Lord or they're not even around. Okay, I get it. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, don't let an exception cause you to forget about the rule. Okay? Okay? Let me just tell you that I guarantee you for Judy and Dan, they probably had reservations about, you know, previous guys that Dara was with, right? They loved her and they said, you're an adult. You know, you can make your own decisions. But what I do know is that whenever I came in the picture, I believe that it was completely different for them, right? And I believe that that helped her to get a word from the Lord and have that word I guess what I'm trying to say is you can have a word from the Lord, but if you're the only one that's hearing that and all the other people in your life aren't, I'm not saying you heard wrong. I'm just saying that in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom and there's safety, okay? I'll just say that. And again, I know not all of your parents are saved. I know not all of your friends are saved. Hopefully you have some friends that are saved. Because if you have only friends that aren't saved, I would just ask, where are they today? Bring them. Bring them. They could probably benefit from this. They could probably benefit from being with an amazing group of young adults like these. Okay? Proverbs 15:22, refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. This is the message, I believe. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. There should be overwhelming agreement from the closest people in your life. And I just want to read this one last thing, and then we are done. This is Proverbs 18, verses 1 through 2. He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. He who willfully separates. Let me just tell you, if you are dating somebody or somebody's wanting to date you and they're wanting to separate you from your friends, from your family, from those people that speak into your life, that person does not really care about you. All they care about is what they see and what they want to get out of you. If just think about this, right? How many times have you known friends that every time they're together with their girlfriend or their boyfriend, they're never around? They're never around, right? Some of you can probably think about people that aren't here right now, and they're out with their girlfriend or boyfriend right now. I'm not passing judgment. I'm not saying that the Lord gave me a word and, you know, they're out doing something that they shouldn't be. But I'm just saying, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety and wisdom, right? And if they're separating themselves from that, they're setting themselves up for not a good situation, okay? There should be continuing and perpetual confirmation. And let me just tell you, even if you get engaged, that doesn't mean that you have to get married. I've known plenty of people that got engaged, and right up to the very day where they were going to get married, they had a word from the Lord, something got uncovered, whatever that looks like, and they got out, right? They backed out. There should be continuing and perpetual confirmation, because guess what? Once you say, I do, that should be all the confirmation you need, right? You've made a covenant, you've made a vow, right? Just think of the hand under the leg, right? If you'd like, I can get John up here and show you what it would look like. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that your words are life. I thank you that they are abundant life to us, Father. God, they lead us and they guide us into your best. So, Father, whether we are single, God, whether we're engaged, whether we're married, God, whether we're remarried, God, whatever the case may be, Lord, I thank you that your words can go forth into each life, each situation, and set their lives on a course of your best, Father. God, in any area that we've experienced anything less than your best, God, we thank you that you lovingly correct, God, that you lovingly get us back in line. Lord, you lovingly get us back in your will, Father. And so I thank you tonight, God, that every seed that was sown, God, came into good ground. And I thank you, God, for a harvest of 40, 60, and 100-fold, God, in every single one of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll walk out of these doors, God, not with just an understanding of these words, God, but the ability to walk it out in deed and action, Father, and put it into motion in our life, God. And I thank you, Lord, that we are all called, God, that we are all anointed to be ambassadors of you, Father. And so I thank you that these words are not just for us. God, they're not just for us, Father. These notes that you prepared for me are not just for the people in this room, God. They're for the world out there, God. This gathering together of your saints is not just to build us up so that we can have a church country club, Father, but so that we can take this word and take this medicine out into the world that is hurting. Father, you said that you came not for the well, God, but for those that are sick. And so, God, we are part of that. So, God, I commission every single one of us, myself included, God, to this week. God, look for somebody that needs to hear this. God, look for somebody, God, that's in our life, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, God, whether it's just somebody that we follow on Twitter that we know needs to hear this. God, I thank you that you give us the words to say, you give us the opportunity, Father, and that your Holy Spirit leads us and guides us at the proper time, God, and that we have the ability to give a word in due season, Father. And I thank you that it's seasoned with grace. I thank you it's seasoned with love. I thank you that we portray your heart for us, God, not to keep us away from anything, but to lead us into your best for us, Father. Because that is all you want for us, God. And so I say over this congregation, God, over every single one of these souls that you've entrusted me with, God. That I want what's best for them, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that these words have caused them to want what's best for them as well, Father, and that they can act on it, and that they'll see a harvest in their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.